All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Hebrews this morning, book of Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll read verse 27 today, thanking the Lord for allowing us to assemble together here in the house of God. Hebrews chapter 9, you will and able stand today. Hebrews chapter 9, and reading just verse number 27 this morning. You pray the Lord to touch us, enable us to be able to preach as He directs our heart today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. I'll read just this verse and kind of use this as our beginning point for our thought today and try to man the Lord. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We'll read that again. "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the good song of Zion. Thank you for allowing us to assemble together as we are today. Father, I pray in that name, which is above every name, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray today that you touch me physically and spiritually. Enable me, oh Lord, to preach what you've been stirring in my heart and mind in these days. And I pray this morning as we have assembled together, Lord, you know who's saved and who's not saved. I pray for that that's lost. May the Holy Ghost reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Help us as your people to live for you and share you with others until the day you take us out of this world. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, the Bible said in this verse, "And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I'm going to preach the Lord helping me just a few minutes today on this subject of death. Death, it's something we do not like to think about, we don't like to dwell upon, but yet it is a fact of life. As sure as there are babies born, there are folk that die on every given day. Every moment of every day, with billions of people in the world, how folk go out into eternity. Now the thing is, it's in this life that you get ready for eternity. You say, "Well, preacher, I wait until I get on my deathbed." Well, that might work. That might be the way it goes. But it could be that you're unconscious to the time of your death. And the only time you get saved is when you can make a conscious decision of repenting of your sin and turning to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way. Amen. Now I know, again, this is not what I'd like to preach, but this is what the Holy Ghost laid on my heart a Friday, began stirring it in me in this particular year. We've had a lot of funerals, been a lot of death, and even in the past week, you've got death of young, middle age, senior saints. Every day, somebody slips off into eternity. My job as a preacher is to warn you that you must be born again and encourage you to get saved before it's too late. Now, we're in a day, I know, that some think they'll live forever. They act like it. But we're not going to live forever. Now, I will say this, and this may sound strange. There is a part of me that's glad I won't live forever in this body. Now, I'm being honest about that. I'm glad that I have the promise of a glorified body because I'm saved. I've been born again. But friend, we're not going to live forever in this clay tabernacle. Now, you better get ready. Death is on our trail. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you believe in the rapture of the church?" Sure do. Could be something that we'll have to go by death. That's right. But if the Lord don't come today, somebody could go by the avenue of death. That's right. Now, again, this ain't going to make you want to holler a whole lot, but it'll help us in making sure we've already sung songs about salvation, sung about knowing that you're saved. You better know it. You better not say, "Well, I think I am." No, you better know that you've been saved, that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the greatest thing you'll ever know, is the fact that you're saved. Now there's four things I look at as we contemplate the subject of death today. First of all, let me say it like this. Number one, death sudden. You say, well, preacher, they've done learned how to watch folk, and caregivers can tell you they're getting down toward death. But yet, may I say this, you don't know the moment of death. You can tell it's getting close, but you'll never know the exact moment that a person will breathe their last breath. I want to tell you something. Even us here today, it could be our last day in this world, and suddenly our life be over with. Amen. You've got to keep that in mind. And you say, preacher, I don't want to think about it. Well, I understand from a physical, natural standpoint, but you better think about it. Amen. Hey, it is sudden, David said. David said, 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. In other words, you are a heartbeat away from eternity. Every one of us. Now, we're living in a day where science has progressed a lot. And they're talking about, and I don't know the exact scientific term, it's slipping my mind, at the moment where they put folk in freezing situations and think they one day can get the technology to bring folk back from the dead. That's not going to happen. When you leave this world, you're gone. You're in eternity. You're not coming back. Amen. Hey, we're a step away, a heartbeat away, a moment away from death have taken us out of this world. Well, we see death this sudden. But I want to deal just a minute here about death in the sinner. Death in the sinner. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Death. Now here's why the wage sin is death. Romans 5:12. Wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Are you hearing me? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hey, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they began to die physically. They died immediately spiritually, but they began to die physically at that moment in the garden, and it passed death on the whole human race. You realize today we're born dying? You really are. You're born dying. Now, for some, it's a short life. Some, it can be a long life. But whatever the case, sinner, here's what I'm getting at. In Luke 16, it said, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The very instant life leaves your body, you're going into eternity. And for a lost man, it is an instant lifting of your eyes in hell. Amen. Beginning eternal punishment, eternal torment. It'll never cease. You'll never get out. There is no second chance. You'll not cease to exist. You ain't going to burn up. But you burn and are tormented forever and ever and ever. Oh, friend, today as we're gathered here, people that are lost have died in the last 24 hours. Now, in our day, now hear me, I'm not trying to be mean and not trying to disturb nobody as far as memories, but you hear me. We are in the day where they can dope a person out of their head. Most of us do know of a time where that wasn't the common practice. And people would give a deathbed testimony of what was happening to them. Lost people have even declared that they were going to hell. And they knew that, hey, it was too late. They were taking their last breath. And in hell, they lift up their eyes. I think about a preacher that I knew. He's in heaven now. He passed away several years ago. But when I've heard him give his testimony, he mentioned about his own daddy dying. His daddy was a drunkard. And I'll say this, the reason a man went to hell is not that he was a drunkard, it's the fact he didn't get saved. That drunkenness was just an outward thing going on, what his heart was. Amen. His heart was lost. His heart was away from God. Now hear me. That man got a hold of some bad liquor. and he died a painful death. That preacher, I've heard him say it over and over again. He said, I heard my own daddy's last few words he spoke. He said, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And the last words he ever heard his daddy say, I'm in hell. And it was over with. You say, I don't believe all that. Well, it don't matter if you believe it or not. It's a reality. If they didn't have folk doped out of their mind today, you'd hear a lot more of the positive and the negative. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? There have been those that hated God and fought against the church and fought against the word of God. But when they came down to die, they realized they'd send the dead grace away. And my friend, they slipped off in the regions of the damned, had to burn forever. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you preaching just salvation? Because I know what the Holy Ghost said. That's why I'm not preaching anything different. It's what God put on my heart. We got from young to senior saint in this building today. You better understand death's hot on your trail. Amen. Hey, what can take me out is in my body now. You hear me? Hey, I'm telling you, we do not know the moment, the day that our life will be over with. You go to the cemetery, all those tombstones have a birth date and a date of death. Most of them sometimes have a dash. It's what happened between those two dates that's going to determine where you go to heaven. Here's what I mean by that, so listen to me. I mean, in other words, there must be a place in your life where you came to grips that you was lost and that you confessed your sin and asked Christ to forgive you and him save you. There must be such a place in your life, my friend, before you leave here, or else you'll lift your eyes in hell of being in torment today. Amen. So death and the sinner. But then let me say this, and I'm not preaching on day. I'm more interested in giving an invitation. Not only death, the sudden death and the sinner, but death and the saint just a moment. For the Bible tells us in Luke 16:22 that the beggar Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. A whole lot different than the rich man. Amen. Whole lot different. That's right. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died in hell. He lived up there. But that man Lazarus, he knew the Lord. And the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Hey, listen to this. Acts 7, verse 56 and verse number 60 both. It lets us know about a man named Stephen. That when he came to die, he said, I see Jesus standing. Amen. Hey, he had a good deathbed testimony. The Lord's just standing up. I'm about to go home to Bethlehem. Hey, it's a different thing when a child of God dies. Amen. Hey, matter of fact, you study Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Other places mention this, that when it talks about death in association with saved people. Now, did you hear that? When it's talked about death in association with saved people. Now, you will not find it for sinners this way. Never in the New Testament will you find it this way. But for the saints, you find it like this. They went asleep. They fell asleep. Refers to death as sleep very often. But it's always in association with saved people. Amen. Why would the Bible use the word sleep? Because sleep is rest. Amen. And we that are saved, this world has been a trying place. Amen. Problems, heartaches on every side. But hey, for the child of God, when death comes, my friend, we slip out of this world. We leave the heartache and the heartbreak behind. And there's an eternal rest out for the people of God. Amen. Hey, again, I say this. As sure as lost folk have give testimony going to hell, been saved folk give testimony, there's a going to heaven. Amen. Again, in our day, we don't see a lot of this either because of all the morphine and stuff. And I understand keeping people comfortable. I'm not against understand all that from a physical standpoint. But you understand something, that people of God die well. They do. The people of God die well. The Bible even said, precious in the sight is the death of his saints. Hey, it's not, listen to me, death for the child of God is only a doorway that leads to life eternal. Amen. Amen. Hey, you talk about really living. When we get out of this old clay tabernacle, we're really going to live. Amen. I think about an old mountain preacher, died in 1977 by the name of Zeb McDerris. He had cancer and he was dying. Someone went by the hospital to see Zeb and asked him, Zeb, what you doing? How's it going today? Here was his response. He said, I'm walking up down the banks of the river looking for a place to cross. He wasn't worried about dying. Hey, it was settled. He is saved. By the way, just before he died, he asked his son, set me up in the bed. Help me get my feet off the side of the bed. And he began to kick his feet around. He said, it feels like I thought it would. Amen. You say, y'all crazy. No, God's people die well. Hey, we're not, I don't want to die because I love my family. I love you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid to die. There's something about being saved that lets you know, hey, it's be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'm glad for the child of God. Death is simply a doorway into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, it's real. You can know you're saved. You can have peace in your heart. That if you draw your last breath, that you'll get a fresh breath in the presence of God. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. It ain't a bad thing about having to go to heaven. Sometimes we tend to talk like we're just gonna try to live forever, but we know we're not. But there's hope. There's hope for the people of God. Hey, we see death is sudden, death for the sinner, death for the saints. But I want to say this, and this is where I want to cap just a minute, and I'm gonna give an invitation. Hear me. That's death in the Savior. Because I understand something this morning. That we see first according to Scripture, that Christ tasted death. The Bible said in Hebrews 2:9, I want you to hear me here. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God, listen, should taste death for every man. Now, some don't, that you hear us talking about from time to time about a Calvinist. And some of the preachers all on try to explain it, and it's a crowd that thinks there's a crowd going to go to hell, whatever they want to do, can't do nothing different. Say, folks, say, wait, but listen to me. There's a choice to be made. Yes. Now, I know this. I know for the people of God that he knows us. I do know about the foreknowledge of God. I know about the predestination of God, but I keep it in its context and realize again, it is always talking about saved people. Always talking about saved people. Amen. For you to try to say it so that you can't say that about Scripture, don't use those words for the lost. You hear me? What we find here, that the Calvinist has a teaching of limited atonement. That Jesus only died for those who are saved. Well, that verse says that what they're saying is a lie. Yes. For the Bible said it tasted death for all men, every man. Amen. Hey, he died for the sin of the world. Amen. He tasted death that you wouldn't have to have part in the second death. And that second death's a lake of fire. Amen. Hey, he tasted death for all men. The Bible tells us over there in Romans 5, verse 6, 7, 8, we'll read this. He said, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, we was all born sinners. You hear me? You was born with sin nature. I was born with sin nature. But Christ died for all of us. If you go to hell, you have to step over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You do. You have to step over the blood that he shed. You had to bypass his empty tomb. Amen. Because he resurrected. We find that Jesus Christ tasted death for all men. That includes you. That includes me. That includes everybody in this world. Amen. You say, well, preacher, God died for these here, but he didn't die for that crowd. It's real mean, real weak. Oh, he died for them too. Amen. See, some of us got saved in enough time to keep us from doing a lot of stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, you hear me. If my biological dad is in eternity, I died from his liver being eaten up with the alcohol he drunk, and he died in that condition. I want to tell you something. Had I lived in his shadow, had I not got saved as a young boy, I would have been there probably today. And you said, not me. Oh, I'm telling you, as much as I detested all that stuff he did, I'm telling you, I would have headed that way had God not saved me. Amen. So me getting saved kept me from getting in all that. But here's what I'm saying. He tasted death for everybody. The drunker, the doper. Hey, I don't care what the murderer, whatever it may be. Christ tasted death for all. Amen. So, you know, I hear folk on us and now, you do this and you can't never get saved. You can't find that in the Bible. You say, but that preacher, don't you know there's a line you cross that do, but I don't know what it is and you don't know what it is. Amen. Oh, yes. He tasted death for all men. So let me say this. No, he tasted death, but let me say this. Number two, he triumphed over death. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Now, I'm like, you've got a bunch. But in Revelation 1:18, I love this verse. And Jesus said to John on the Isle of Patmos, I am he that liveth. That's E-T-H, that continuous. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Now, that tells me this. It speaks about his pre-existence before Bethlehem. He's always been. But he put himself in a body that he could die. Hello. Wrapped himself in flesh. He was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Hey, I like that. Now, he didn't just say, I'm alive. I mean, that's good. But Lazarus could say, after Jesus resurrected, I'm alive. Amen. The widow woman's son in 1 Kings 17 could say, I'm alive. But Jesus didn't just leave it with, I'm alive. He said, I'm alive forevermore. In other words, he is never going to die again. He died once, and once was sufficient to pay the sin debt of the world. And now he resurrected, and he ever lives and sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Oh, friend, today he went on to say and have the keys of hell and of death. That's why I'm not afraid. He's in control. Amen. I'm his. He bought me with his blood. Amen. I'm saved and assurance in my heart, the hope of glory in my heart. Hey, it is good being saved. Jesus tasted death, but Jesus triumphed over death. I read the latter part of Matthew 27 into chapter 28. I do that with all four gospels, for they all give the account of the death and the burial and the resurrection. And the religious crowd was the ones that wanted a band of soldiers to watch the tomb. It was not Pilate's idea. But they came to Pilate and said, we know this deceiver. You need to watch him. So they're going to steal his body away. Now, if they really didn't believe who he was, look up here, hear me. They claimed they didn't believe he was the Messiah. Why would they be so worried about him getting out of that grave? Amen. Because his followers had run for their lives. They weren't going to get nobody out of no grave. Hello. They wasn't going back there, but they were hiding for their lives. But they knew deep down inside, he's who he said he was. And Pilate puts a seal on the door, puts the soldiers at the door. But I don't tell you, under his own power, he come out of that grave, and they couldn't stop him. Amen. Now the world wants you to say he didn't really come, but he did. A living Lord is why I am where I am today and I am what I am today, because of a resurrected Lord. Amen. Hey, today we have hope. We there say we have hope. Amen. Can I say this right here? It really will help your family if you get saved and you live it. It'll really help your family. Because when you go by the cross and go to death, hey, preacher can say whatever he wants to say at your funeral, but the family knows truth. Amen. Now, I've never lied at a funeral, and I'm not going to start. Now, you say, well, you do, preacher. I give the gospel. That's what I do. I ain't going to spend time about that person. Hey, their life's done, but I'm going to preach them their living. And tell them you must be born again. So I say, I ought not be preaching a funeral. Ain't no better time. No better time. I'm going to give the gospel. Let them know Jesus loved them, died for them, resurrected, wants to save them. Amen. That's right. We find this court of scripture that Jesus rose again. He's alive forevermore. And we that are saved have hope beyond this veil of tears. Now, I know been a little scattered light, but it's what's been on my heart. But I don't know, I'm going to ask you this. I ain't asked you to raise your hand, but I want you to answer in your heart. I want you to answer in your heart. Do you really know you're saved? Is it settled? Do you know if death does lay hold of you today, where are you going? Where are you going? I promise you this. I promise you this. I know beyond doubt I'm saved. If I don't make it back tonight, I'll meet you in the morning. The real morning. Amen. I've got that kind of hope. I've got that kind of blessed assurance. Amen. Oh, friend, do you have that? You can. You can really know for sure that you're saved. You say, preacher, I've always been taught you had to wait to come down to die to find out. That'd be too late. Because you could get snuffed out. Yes. Amen. But I know in this life I'm saved. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved forever? He lives inside of me. He changed me. I know I'm ready to meet God. Amen. Question is, are you ready? Now, there's a lot of folk try to accuse preacher trying to make folk doubt. I've not done that. I ain't said nothing to make anybody want to doubt. If you doubt and if you're tore up, I didn't do that. The Holy Ghost done that. Amen. Because I want to tell you something. As a child of God, Satan may try to make you doubt, but you can't go back but so far. You hear me? He could come up and say, oh, you thought this, you done that, you ain't no way you're saved. Well, I can tell you what, I can go back. I can go back where I got born again. Amen. That's right. I can't go back beyond that. Because beyond that don't exist no more. It's gone. Blood of Christ washed it all away. I'm a new creature in Christ now. Amen. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Father, take this message. Use it for, I pray, the salvation of the lost, the help of God's people. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Have your way now. I pray, Lord, for that that's lost. Lord, what a joy it'd be to see that one walk out. Fall on altar, get born again. Lord, I pray, help folk not to leave here with a hope so, but may they leave with a know so. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed just a moment. I don't do this a whole lot, but I'm going to do it this morning. How many in this building, by the lifting of the hand, can raise your hand and say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. You slip it up, put it up. I know I'm saved. You put it down. Now, I didn't ask you if you're religious. or if you've been baptized. Talk about being saved. A lot of folk raise their hands and said, I'm saved. Let me ask this. Maybe there's somebody here with lift hands and preacher, I'm lost. And I know that. And I want you to pray for me. I know I need to get saved. Please remember me in prayer. Anybody in the building, preacher, I'm lost. I'm lost. Can I really stress this to you? It is not religion that you're needing, but it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that comes by the new birth. I know this, God does not give messages just to beat the wind. I know that. And there are folk right here today, in your heart, you know you're not right with the Lord. You're lost. We're trying to extend an invitation to you to be saved today. While you stand, we're going to sing. This altar's open. It may be you are saved, but maybe you've got a burden for somebody lost and want to come pray. Or maybe you're saved and you're not walking with the Lord like you should and can. And you need to come and say, Lord, help me. I'm sorry. Get things right. It could be you're lost. Won't you come today? You know, I'm not saved. We'd love to pray with you this morning. Greatest day of your life, getting saved.